Hi, everyone. Welcome to Childcare Inspirations, inspiring early childhood educators and providers through laughter, learning, and connection. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Childcare Inspirations. I'm Tina Gears, owner of Inspired Minds, ECC, and guess who we are here today with? The wonderful, fabulous Miss Diane Cashin. So excited. We're going to be talking about professional friendships. And this is something that resonates deep within my heart because I'm all about connection and friendships as an early childhood educator. So let's get right to it. This is what I'm really passionate about. I've met some amazing people. My best friend I actually met through school, through a facility we worked at. So this really intrigued me.
Yes, that's so you probably have a great professional friendship story to tell. Yeah, it is something that when I think back to all of everything that I've learned, all the conferences I attended, all the books I read, all the workshops I led, all the classes I taught, because I taught for 30 years plus. I think, where did I learn the most? What was this most significant form of professional learning? And it was with and through my friends, especially when we were attending things together, right? And it was not the actual thing so much as, going out for the coffee and saying, well, what'd you think, So I really, and it's accessible. And that was, there's a lot of move and push towards mentorship, leadership, communities of practice, and all of those could be hierarchical. They can all be where the power is in one or two people. And professional friendship is accessible to everybody. It's like you could be working in the toddler room in a center and have your best friend down the hall and use that person as your mentor. But the mentorship goes back and forth. It's not just like I'm always going to be the mentee and you're always going to be the mentor because you're older than I am or you have more experience. It's like who's to say that somebody has all the knowledge and deserves to be a mentor? It's different when you do onboarding, when you do, welcome to a new center, here's our policies, I'm going to be your mentor, I'm going to help you, where you have your lunch, blah, blah, blah. But it's different when it's professional learning and there's different topics. And, I think we share a lot of the same interest in the same topics. But if you said to me, like, you were really into self-regulation, I'd go, well, I know a little bit, but you could mentor me, but maybe there's something I could mentor you on, and we'd go back and forth, and never one be more powerful.
I agree with that, because I think when I look back at all my learning, I absolutely, especially in the beginning, learned from my friends in the field. My first year being an educator, everything I learned was from my coworker, who we became really good friends. We got along. We would go out afterwards. She would show me not only local places to eat and stuff like that, but we just formed a great friendship and we shared ideas. And I think that was my most valuable learning that first year of teaching is from her.
Yeah. And when you look at something like where you're stuck, like, I can't figure out what to do with the dramatic play corner, the area or whatever, center. And you don't want to go to your boss, right? You don't, because they'll write you up, but you go to your friend and your friend wants the best for you. You know your friend is your champion, so they're going to help you shine, And they might say, let's change that, and you say, oh, okay, rather than somebody who's above you saying, let's, you need to change that. Oh, really? Like it's you. So yeah, there's a lot of benefit, and I'm really looking forward to the book getting out there.
I saw in Red Leaf today that it's going to come out tomorrow,
Yeah.
September 15th.
Yes.
So for everyone who doesn't know, this is Cultivating Professional Friendships that Diane has, her new book coming out. And I know on Amazon for we can't get it on Amazon until December. But you can go through Red Leaf Press and get it. Do you know any other
Right.
Canadian outlets that we can get it earlier than December?
I'm working with the Red Leaf distributor, and it's called Login. They said they were going to really do it as fast as possible. But if you do go through Red Leaf, I've ordered books from Red Leaf before. You are adding the shipping, and you are adding the difference with the Canadian dollar, but it doesn't turn out to be that much more. But I do appreciate that some people have a budget and they want to wait until it's out somewhere where they can get it through a Canadian distributor, so that you have to wait till December. But if you can't wait,
But
it's
you know, Shirley and I are going to both be on that. So, okay, how did you do it? How did you do it? So, are you allowed to give us a little sneak peek about, some of the key takeaways that you talk about in the book?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So it's really interesting when you shared the story about your first work friend. So the book actually starts with the importance of your first work friend. And it shares a story of two of my friends, Sheila and Paula. And it's so lovely because a couple summers ago, I had a gathering at my house of professional friends, and they didn't know, and from across Ontario, well, not too far across, but Paula's from Hamilton and Sheila's from the Chatham-Kent area. They didn't know either of them were going to be there, and so we witnessed this reunion of that. They've stayed in touch over with social media, but they hadn't seen each other. And when Sheila was hired at the center, Paula, she did the mentoring, but soon they became friends. And they were just like, you could just, I took this beautiful picture, and you could just feel the love. And I asked them to share their story. And, it's like they talked about it, like the feeling of coming home. And all those things that they had done for each other, and they've been there for each other, because you have your families or your personal lives, and it's hard. You can walk into work one day and you have to be there for the children, but you just had something, that you've gone through at home, and having that person there for you, and says, just go sit down in the book center. We need you in ratio. Keep your eye out on children, but we'll cover for you. So it's just really important. So that leads the book. But throughout the book, I feature five of my professional friends who've had enormous influence on me. And weaving in the research and the work that I could find on friendships. And it's really about forging a friendship. How do you forge a friendship? And how do you maintain a friendship? And how do you navigate through some of the issues that inevitably often happen? It is, the book is has a strand going through it that speaks to my former friend, who shall not be named. And it was when our friendship broke up about 10 years ago. It was huge for me. It was like I went through the grief process. We hit this impasse. She didn't want to, confront the whole all the issues. She just wanted to end it. And okay, and it was just, I missed her terribly, but I was angry, and I was consumed by it. And writing the book really helped. And in the end, I realized that I value and love her. And that's all that remains. The bitterness doesn't. It is through each and every one of my professional friends, those relationships that endured and those that haven't, even those that blew up, that I learned and I grew and how important it was. So I've reflected on everything I've learned from her, which was so much, and then just so appreciative of that friendship. So really want this to be like a primer for early childhood educators starting out or those who are already working in the profession to seek out a professional friend, to work with that professional friend and help, and here's some help if you do reach these points of impasse, or even how to prevent yourself getting to that point. So I talk about boundaries and really knowing yourself. In the book, I share a Venn diagram, and it's like, friendship, friend A, friend B, and the intersection of the Venn is your common identity. And what I felt with my former friend is that the common identity took over. And so the intersection was big. And it's like people would see me and they go, well, where's so and so? Like it's like as if she was joined by the hip, right? And it's like, oh, okay. But what about me? And interesting about us, I'm an extrovert, she's an introvert. And she wanted me to be like her. And the more I, put myself out there that she would say, well, come on, bring it in a little bit here, don't be out there so much. And I go, now I think, oh, I was sa sacrificing who I was, my identity for that friendship. So it really starts with who you are and to accept who you are, every part of your identity and not to hide it. Not to shrink from it, like who you are, where you're from, what you enjoy, what you like, like it's like, okay, I have a family, I have a husband. Well, she didn't have a husband. Well, that, like doesn't mean that I have to not talk about my husband because you don't want to hear about it. It's really about that. As professional friends, we accept the other person and we don't try to shift if they come to you and say, oh, like, could you help me with, the dramatic play center? Oh, I worked on my dramatic play center and, this is what I did. No, listen and see what the situation is and what their needs are. So we really have to work on listening and not shifting, because it's even when you say, oh, I'm having trouble with a family, a certain family, and they're being very demanding, and oh yeah, I have one of those too. You do that because you say, oh, look at, we have something in common, but you basically just cut them off and shift it to you, and so it's every day we have to work on it.
So do you think there's a difference between like a professional friendship and a friendship outside of the workplace, or there are similarities? Like, how does that kind of intermingle and work?
There's absolutely a difference, and I do talk a little bit about friendships outside of the workplace, but this is very focused on the workplace. You share a context. I talk about how often, my childhood friends. I mean, I'm very blessed. I have friends. I'm 66 years old, and I've had friends since, grade school, and the same friends. And we get together and we go for walks, and what do we, we talk about our family, we talk about what we're making for dinner, but they don't get me. They don't get who I am. And my identity is I am an ECE. That is so much of who I am. And so that's a part of me that they don't know nor they understand. So I love them dearly, and they would, if I needed anything, they would be here in a flash, but it's not the same. When I have someone who is a friend, has that same level, like has almost transcended from a friend to a family, feeling like family, and shares my context and knows my professional history. Like I don't have, like I have one friend, Cindy Green, who's she's the first one I introduced in the book. It's probably about 40 years. And my most significant job was at a college, and that's where she worked, and that's we became friends. And I love to tell the story about how she pulled me over one day and said to me, as others have said, but she said it in a different way. She said, "I'm going to tell you something because I love you, and I want the best for you." So right away, like, okay, she loves me, like, wow, that's so amazing. And then she said, "Oh, when we have meetings and we're talking about something, you're so passionate and you have so much knowledge, but you come on too strong." And she said, maybe, again, people have said that to me before, but because she wrapped it, she wrapped it in love and kindness. And that's also the message of the book, is that a professional friend wraps everything in love and kindness. Now, in the book, I talk about critical friendship. So there is ample research on critical friendship. And going into writing the book, I didn't know whether I was going to call it critical friendship in ECE, and I was using the term critical friendship sometimes and professional friendship sometimes. And critical friendship, the research is really focused outside of ECE. Like I was able to find maybe one really good article that focused on early childhood education. And it's different because it's more professional. It's more, it doesn't lead with the love and kindness. It does. Yeah, you're there for your friend, and you want the best for your friend, and you want to give them support, you want to give them encouragement, you want to challenge them, you want to provoke them. But where's the love and kindness? And it was, I think, Martin, he's a professional friend. I think it's chapter three that he's featured in, and it was his kindness and love that helped. He said, "Let it go, Diane. Embrace your own term. Your own term is professional friendship. Let the critical friendship go," because his work is from an, him, an
Oh, yes,
Indigenous
I
girl.
really like following him.
Oh, what an amazing, it's his birthday today. Happy birthday, Hopi. It really is about that love and kindness, and that is the way that the teachings that he learned from his grandmother and has taught me. And I thought, when he shared that with me, it was like, okay, it's gone. I let it go. And it was really, it made such an impact. So because we are a profession, grounded in that love and kindness. And you know, it's not like
Absolutely.
going into your colleague's room with a clipboard and, taking notes and saying, let's have a meeting. You know, like that's critical friendship. It is, about like what Cindy did. I love you, Diane, and I'm going to tell you something because I love you and I want the best for you. That's the model.
I can absolutely relate to that because I look at when you're talking about that, I'm thinking, okay, my husband's friendships at his work, and they're nothing like the professional friendships I have with, one of my best friends here, like where it's completely different. And it does come from that love and kindness. Like I love her unbelievably. And I don't think my husband would say that about his critical, what are the critical friendships?
Yes.
Yeah. And, but that's what I think because we're all about like compassion, about connecting, about love, and that's where we all want to come from. So I completely can reflect on that and agree with that. It's different. It's just different.
And one of the things that I was able to do is incorporate children's friendships because we have the capacity to learn and reflect on our own professional friendships while every day observing children's friendships and putting us in a parallel process of reflection, which really deepens the reflection and makes it like even more critical and intense. So that was something too that came out of this book, and I don't know, I don't know if I'd ever be ready for a second book, but if I was, I would write about children's friendships because it's not a lot written about it. And, we observe children every day, and what are we looking for? Oh, they're interested in, schema play and in lining up and but they're lining up with another child. They're lining up, the dinosaurs with another child and having a conversation with another child. It's not about the dinosaurs, it's about that relationship. And so when you think about how we form relationships as professional friends, how do children form relationships? And how do children navigate through those problems, that they have with their friends. I have three grandchildren. One is I think he's 17 months now, so he's not quite ready for for these conversations. But my oldest grandson he's very intuitive. He's like an old soul. And I did a podcast on professional friendships for somebody else, and he heard me say that I did a podcast. I think it was on the phone, and he was over. He goes, "I want to hear your podcast." Okay, so I played it for him, and I played him maybe the first half hour or so, and I tell a story about his cousin, my other grand child, who was in the preschool room at the time, and my daughter goes to pick her up. And she had this intense relationship, this friendship with her name is Reese, with Ruby. And they met, well, they forged their friendship in the toddler room, which is when children start making those friendships. They're called proto friendships, they're first friendships of their whole life. And then, as priest, so she moved to the preschool room, and my daughter goes to pick her up. And so Reese comes to the door, and then Ruby says, wait, Reese, I'm coming in for a hug. I need a hug." And gives her this big hug. And my daughter's just beaming, and she says to the ECE, "Isn't it beautiful? That friendship is just so beautiful." And the ECE says, "Ah, yeah, the today best friends, tomorrow frenemies." And so I told that story on the podcast, and Griffin, he said, he said, I want to talk about that." I go, "Okay." And he says, "I have a frenemy." And I go, "Well, tell me about it." He said, and I don't remember the child's name, but he said, he always wants to be the leader. And that's when I said to him, well, that's not a true friend, but it doesn't mean you can't be friendly. So there's the distinction between being a friend, and when you are a friend, you have a reciprocal relationship. And you share the power, you share the leadership, and befriending, which is the act of being a friend. So I can walk outside right now and one of my neighbors falls, and I would treat her like a friend, and I would pick her up and or make sure she's okay, and stay with her as a friend would. But we're not friends. But so that is what I tried to explain to him, is that you can still play with him. But when if it if you get tired of not having that opportunity to be a leader, you don't have to say anything negative. You don't have to be mean, because you can always act as a friend. So that was something else that really struck home with me, because it's also the big ethical question. Can a director slash supervisor be friends with the people that work for them? And the answer is no. It crosses an ethical boundary. But what happens so often in our profession is, an opportunity comes up and somebody applies for it, and all of a sudden, that friendship has to change. You have 10 staff that work for you. You can't continue to go out, for dinners and lunches and, text each other, because that's unethical. How would that sit with the other staff? But you can still befriend. You can still give all that love and all that kindness to everybody in the ecosystem, from families to children to educators to, you can still embrace that love and kindness with everybody, but you are aware that, this is not somebody I can be friends anymore with. And that's a choice you need to make.
That reminds me when I was working, when I came back to Canada and I was working at a program. My director, like I took the job because of her and her community work and her passion. We weren't friends at that time. We actually only, like, we were friendly and we were befriend. But it was once I got to the point we were on the same level within the organization. So she was a director and I was an education coach. That's when our friendship actually really, really took off, because now it wasn't this
That's
hierarchy
great.
system. Now we were on the same level. And now, I encouraged her to start her own business. And now we hang out all the time and we're professional friends. Absolutely. And I don't know what I'd do without her. It's like Karen Turner is amazing.
Well, and she's not your competitor, even though
No.
she might be in some ways. It's the same thing with Cindy Green, as she does a lot of things that I do, same workshops, and so she'll get a call from somebody and I won't. Well, I'm happy for her,
Yeah.
and if she they say, well, do you know anybody that can, do something on something? Oh, my name's the first name that comes up. And what I've said, because there's in Ontario, and I know in Alberta too, and in every province, there's always like a core group who does this kind of work, this professional learning work. And I always say there's enough work out there for everyone. And it's if I'm happy for whatever work that they get, and we don't have to compete for anything. And but I am happy that I found my niche. I call it my lane. Like I feel, okay, My lane is professional friendship, and I'm the only one in that lane right now. So that if I do put myself out there and they say, well, what do you want? What can you present on? I'm not in the lane with 10 other people presenting on loose parts. I could do that. I could present on loose parts, and I do, but it's different when I'm in the lane myself.
I completely get that. It makes, when you stop and you think about it and your journey as an ECE, it really does, for me anyways, come down to who are the influential people who made a big difference in my life, and and how am I still friends with them, or where did that friendship go? But that's what you th I think of automatically are the friends in the field.
Yeah.
So do you mention anything about how to recover from a broken friendship or one that stopped? I know you mentioned it earlier, but are there tips and strategies? Like you said, it's devastating when you lose a friend.
It is. Yes, I do. And I do, give tips to not get to that point. Because I guess it's my personality. I am out there. I am outspoken, and sometimes you don't have to respond immediately. It's like you get an email and it's like, oh, that kind of ticks me off, and you respond right away and you just escalate everything. So we do I do talk about the just at the strategy of stop, take some time, really think about how you're going to respond and what you're going to do so you don't get yourself into that. And then if you are into that, you do have to choose a path of forgiveness or non-forgiveness. And forgiveness is really interesting. Like, I've forgiven my former friend, but I haven't told her I've forgiven her because we don't talk and haven't for 10 years. But in my heart, I've forgiven her. And in my heart, like I said, I have nothing but love for her and so much admiration for all the professional knowledge that she shared with me. And just, she just there was she had so much to offer. And but yeah, I did have to go through some healing. And what did I do? I turned to my other professional friends. And so I don't write about this in the book, but actually what happened is because we were so tied together, and that Venn diagram didn't leave a lot of room for my other friends. And even though they were, and my friends, and they continue to be my friends, when this happened, like who best to go to? It's like sure, my husband sat and listened, but he didn't really get it. Or, my adult children, kind of listened, but it was my professional friends who knew both of us and had the context and had that history, that were there for me. And it's like, I write about Rosalba. She's in chapter two, and I remember calling her when it all came down, and I remember pacing on the phone, and I'm pacing and my heart's beating. And I said, I think I'm going to have a heart attack. Like I was just so upset. She goes, you are not, I'm coming over right now. And it's like, that's what you need. Like drop everything and be there for your friend when your friend needs you. But you can't be that needy friend all the time. And so it's sometimes you do have to end a friendship. And I would just do it if I had to do it again, which I hope I'd never have to. I would do it way different, because in the time of social media, you get to ghost people. I didn't know what ghosting was, but all of a sudden our friendship end, and I'm not, unfollow, unfriend, like you're invisible to that person. And it didn't stop me from, stalking her on social media when I could, like not on Facebook, but on Twitter or X Twitter at the time, to see what she was up to. And that was like, that wasn't healthy. And I never do it anymore. I never even think of doing it, but it's really hard. And so
Yeah, it is.
you got to give yourself time to grieve and turn to your other friends. And sometimes, and this is kind of a little bit of a wish for me, is that old friend will become a new old friend or an old new friend. Like that maybe I'll see her, in 5 years, and we both forget. Like what did we even fight about? My mother is 99 years old and lives in a retirement home, and she's only been there since February, believe it or not, lived on her own until then. And she's made this lovely friend, Sophie. And my brother texts me and says, Mom and Sophie had a fight, and they're not sitting together at lunch anymore. And I said, well, we'll find out why. And he goes, okay. So he texts me back and he says, so I encouraged them to sit together. And while they were sitting together, I turned to Sophie and I said, so what was the fight about? And she says, I don't remember. And I turned to Mom and said, what was the fight about? She goes, I don't remember. Because so it's like,
Oh.
like it, so many of these arguments and these fights, like I don't even remember, half of what went on or three quarters of what went on. And you gotta let it go. It's not good. It's not healthy.
My best friend in the whole world, her name is Natalie Dubnitsky. We met, I was teaching preschool and she had the kindergarten class, and we know we had fights. But for the life of us, we can't remember what those were about. We're like, yeah, we know we did because we went days without seeing each other, usually for about maybe 3 days. Like we'd see each other at work, but we wouldn't hang out afterwards. And this was over 15 years ago when I, and she lives in Latvia now, and we're still best friends. We talk about work still. She works more with the primary care, kinders, and like to grade 3 or 4, but we're always talking. And yeah, we had our ups and downs. And when she discovered she was moving to Latvia, she was getting really stressed. So I dropped everything and I went. She lived in Ontario at that time. And I went, okay, let's do this. Right. And I think like she will always be so important in my life that I can never undervalue her friendship. And we just understand each other. We're like two peas in a pod. We just get each other. And I hope that a lot of ECEs will have that experience and we'll get that opportunity to be in love with your friend. Like I am in love with my best friend. She's amazing. And it's a different type of love than my husband and my family. But I will tell her, yeah, I love you. Like whenever we end a conversation, love you. Okay, see you later.
It's so amazing. And I think it's possible. There's nothing stopping us, every early childhood educator, from having a professional friend. Like even if you find yourself, like at one point I found myself really in a place pedagogically that I wasn't connecting with a lot of people. And through social media, I met Suzanne Axelson, who you probably know.
She's
And
lovely.
so she it like so we met through Facebook, and then she says to me, I want to come to Ontario. I said, okay. And now you'll stay at my house. And I remember my adult children saying, and now who is this friend that's coming over and staying at the house? They weren't living at home at the time, but they heard me talk about it. And I told them, she's from Sweden. And they said, and how did you meet her? And it's like they were very suspicious. And she came here and I went there. I can tell you that I saw Suzanne when she was a preschool teacher, and I saw the original learning approach before it was labeled that. And oh, What a gift she is. And I'm just so proud that, so she's in my book as well. She's featured. And so having that, even though I didn't find a lot of that connections with the people that I was working with, I found with Suzanne. And we would just, when she came here, she's been here, I think, 3 times. I've only gone to Sweden once, but I'd love to go again. We would just talk for hours and hours and hours and hours. And like where we were both like, oh, we can't speak anymore. We've just, our vocal cords are gone. So even if you can't find somebody that works in the next room, you can find somebody. And that's what I hope is that everybody will seek somebody out. Is that person approachable? Then that's a good person to seek out, and it's like, hey, will you be my professional friend? It's like you hear kids say that all the time, will you be my
Will you be my
friend?
friend?
So,
Right, like
yeah.
social media, I met some amazing educators because every so often in your career, I find that we get really frustrated, and it's like you were saying, why doesn't anyone have the same pedagogy? Why am I struggling so much finding some people to, have these discussions with? And I met Sherry Duncan online, and she's from Alberta, but Northern Alberta, and we were talking online for a couple of years, and just was it this year, last year, we actually finally met in person at a conference we were both attending, and we were like, oh, dad, now we can put a face. But I'm staying with her next week. Her family's like, who's coming up?
Yes. And
And
how did they meet? You meet her?
yeah, online. But we
It's
really feel
wonderful.
like we're a sister from another mother. Like we just naturally just started talking, and just it just keeps flowing. And it's like, oh, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Why are we still chatting online?
And I just love talking to people like you, Tina, because like Suzanne, you and I probably could keep talking and talking and talking. And that the passion that when you identify passion in another early childhood educator, passion for what we do, passion for the importance of what we do, then and all the, like I always say, like I'm interested in everything ECE, like all things ECE, mainly curriculum and pedagogy. But like you want to talk to me about anything to do with ECE, I want to hear you. I want to have a conversation. I want to have a dialogue. And I want to see that more in early childhood educators. And so, what do? You've got to find common interests and have shared experiences, and that's really important. So you had that shared experience. You were at that conference together, and it kind of solidified your friendship. I write about another friend that I met that you probably have heard of, Juliet Robertson. She wrote
Familiar, but not too familiar.
that. Yeah, so her blog is called Creative Star, and she wrote Messy Maths and Dirty Teaching. And she's from Scotland. Sadly, she's fighting a losing battle right now with her health. And but I met her, I think it was through Twitter. And I knew that she was going to be at a conference in Calgary, actually, the IPA conference. And I wanted to meet her. And I wanted to invite her to come and do a 5-day professional learning experience that I was organizing here in Ontario. And part of being able to afford to bring someone in was, hey, you got to stay at my house. And I said, but I have to see, what she's like. What if I don't like her? And I messaged her and I said, can we meet up in Calgary? Oh, absolutely. And it's like Wow. We spent the whole day together playing because there was lots of play opportunities, and she's just brilliant and she's just wonderful. And I'm just so grateful for her friendship and her encouragement and her support, because she I write in the book about my struggle, which is with imposter syndrome, which is really not a syndrome, but it is identified, as people who, just have doubts about themselves.
Yeah.
People say, "You, Diane," like
Who
someone
am I to do this? That's what I have. Like, who am I?
someone called me the GOAT, the greatest of all time the other day. And I got, "Oh, wow, that's Beyonce. That's not Diane." But
I like that though, the goat. Yes,
yeah.
yes.
So I struggle with it all the time. And when I met Juliet, it was like I was struggling because, oh, she's world renowned and she's brilliant, and and everybody knew her. And what is she, like, what will she see in me? And what, and she's just been so encouraging and so wonderful to me. And here she is, fighting this battle, and she takes the time to set up a Zoom just to tell me that. And then it's like, wow, we really need that. We need those types of people in our lives, and we need to be those types of people. And if we can, we will help the next generation be those types of people and help them, help re-navigate those days when her and Ruby were fighting over it. Was probably the frenemies, was like, "No, I want it. No, I want it," right? It's always, preschoolers. But it's like, why wasn't that teacher helping? She was dismissing it. You could help. You can offer some guidance to children who are struggling, because I know how it feels when I have a disagreement with my friend. Reese and Ruby aren't different. They felt it too.
I really do appreciate you coming and joining and having these conversations and sharing the passion, because that I think is what we need to do is build each other up. We need to connect with each other and really share our passion. So thank you, Diane. Can I give a shout out for your book again?
Absolutely.
Okay. Cultivating professional friendships, everyone. I'm going to get it as soon as I can, and then we're going to run it in the ECE book club that we have here. So you can follow that. She also has, Diane has her Facebook group, Professional Friendships in Early Childhood Education. So follow her over there. She has a wonderful blog spot. She's just a wonderful person, everyone. Just Diane's an amazing person. And honestly, I can't wait to see you in person. Next time I'm out in Ontario, you're in Alberta. Let's do some driving. Do some
Okay.
driving.
Absolutely. And also, people can send me a friend request on Facebook, and because I love connecting. Most of my Facebook friends are early childhood educators from all over the world. So, we stay connected, we support each other. That's, that's our legacy. Our legacy is our friends. And, and being at the age I am, I'm thinking a lot about that. And I know my passion will live on through my friends.
Absolutely agree. Thanks so much, Diane, for joining us. And
Yes.
we'll talk to you next time.
I hope so. Okay. Thanks, Tina.
Thanks, Diane. Well, that's it for today, everyone. Thank you so much again, Diane, for joining me and having this wonderful, rich conversation. Don't forget to, order her book, everyone, coming out soon. And don't forget to like and follow her, friend her, give her a friend request on Facebook. I would love to hear back and about what you guys thought about this and your perspectives, your reflections on this, and your friendships. Let's share our stories of friendships. So join me on my Facebook page, Inspired Minds ECC. Let's share our stories over there. Have a fabulous day, everyone. I'll see you next time.